Good afternoon, I'm Kate Manahan. Thank you for joining me for the 196th edition of New Mainers Speak. This is a bi-weekly, half-hour program where you can hear firsthand about the lives of some of Maine's immigrants. During the show, we visit with individuals regarding their life stories and enduring hopes as New Mainers. My guest today is El Fadl Arbab. You may recognize his voice from previous shows as he's joined me just this past August and September as well. Earlier recordings can be heard at newmainersspeak.com, and those interviews might give perspective to today's remarks, but are not required at all for understanding today's show. El Fadl's from Darfur, Sudan. He is a survivor of genocide. He was able to escape childhood slavery. And as a lost boy of Sudan, he ran through the bush, caves, mountains, always seeking safety. El Fadl was a refugee who arrived in Maine in 2004 and is now a voting American citizen who works two jobs, attends school, and is a public speaker in his spare time. So welcome back to New Mainers Speak today, El Fadl.
Thank you for having
me. When you were on this show on Labor Day, you talked about how your education in Darfur was informal. You children would gather around and sit on the ground at the feet of the elders, and they would instruct you on life's lessons through storytelling. They would say, if you want to learn, you have to listen. Later, you used those stories that you learned, saved in your memory, to navigate very harsh landscapes, both human and physical. I wondered if you could talk a little bit more about the respect you have for elders and how that's a big part of your culture.
Yes, thank you. I admire for our elders, and it's really they are the foundation and legacy for us as kids or anywhere around the world. It's the same culture. I mean, like all the elders, they really, they bring in good stuff for us. And in Darfur, we don't have no schools or government, they don't want our own government in Sudan, they don't want we will have like anything like our basic needs, they don't want.
Right, they and keep you from rising up by keeping yeah. you uneducated.
Yeah, and they want, they feel like if we get educated, they will lose their power and also the wealth. And that's why they keep us away from all this. But we are really appreciate for our elders, they keep us educating because they have the wisdom. And they have the knowledge. And they kind of, through their own story, they bring the kids around the neighborhood or the village. And we go to their houses and we sit down and we listen to their stories. And they kind of telling us all these different stories and also the knowledge and the wisdom. And we as a kids, we just kind of learning these kind of stories because our mind is empty. We don't have anything to store it. But when we get these stories, we kind of store it in our mind somewhere there. When anything happen in the future, those stories is just come and clip in your head and send you a message. And it's like, do this. This is from the elders' story. And you don't have to think about it. You just take action and just make a difference, because if you wait a second or minute, that is not going to be good for you. When that a story just come in your head, you just kind of take action and just do it.
Yeah,
and that is save our life, really.
Well, absolutely. You're in the elements protecting yourselves as you're fleeing, and you need to know how lions behave. So it's a good thing your elders told you how to behave around a lion.
Yeah. Because the lions, they always telling us, like, if you're walking and you look for, like, on the trees and under the trees and you just go with the street, but on the road, you make your own road. If you see the lion or you see any animals, they telling us you just see at one time. And if you look the second time, that's mean you look something, but you are not sure. But the second time, you make sure what you see is what you see, and you know, like, this is something you see is either if it's lion or a tiger or anything like that. don't see again in third time.
Get
because
out of there.
In the animal language, it's like the first one is an accident. The second one, you're trying to make sure. The third time, you are kind of looking for trouble. And we are not going to the third time. We just first and second, and you just kind of keep going to keep yourself safe. Yeah.
Yes. You have large families compared to here in South Sudan and Sudan. And you were telling me the other day that it is the honor when you are first married and have children to, as soon as your child's old enough to participate and help, to give that firstborn child to the family of the mother, and your secondborn child goes to the family of the father, so that those elders have the support of a young person in their home and also can impart so many of these extra stories to the next generation.
Yeah, we do that as the elders or the parents born us. It's not something easy to have a child, since if we just think about the process of you kind of finding your partner until you go to marriage, until you work very hard until you will have the first child, that first child to be born like 8 months in mother's belly or even more, or 9 months, and then will be born and then will be raised until you start sitting down, crawl and walk and talk. And all this time, you just do everything in your power to raise your child. And culturally, we have, when you born the first child, you give to your wife's parents, because you kind of telling them, thank you so much. You kind of giving back. Thank you so much. I know that you work very hard to kind of born my wife and raise, and also become today someone who's my wife, and we're having our own kids. So this child will be with you, will raise in your, what we call it, in backyard or in the house. And at the same time, we're having the elders, they're growing up and they're becoming elder and elder, and the child is growing up also, and it's really the child will get the wisdom from grandparents and the parents, and that child, he will be the lucky one to go to grandparents' house, because the grandparents, they will have full time for that child, and that child in that village will be the smartest one, because he get all kind of stories, and that is the real education, the knowledge, the wisdom. And the second child will go to my parents' house. The rest of the kids will remain home. And then they will be fighting like, we are going to grandparents' house. And it's like, if that child did not say yeah, then, you know, they are not going there. Or they have to go like on Friday. Our weekend starts Fridays and Saturdays. That's our weekend normally. And then all the kids will go to the grandparents' house, and they are very happy, and they will cook the best food ever for them. They tell them stories, and they just sit in the dirt, sit in their lap and listen to their stories, and they just feel free, and they don't want to go back to their parents' house. They want to stay in their grandparents' house.
They get special attention there, and they fight over who gets to be the one to serve the grandparents.
Yeah.
Because it's a place of honor. Is there a word for this firstborn child who goes and lives with the grandparents? Is there a title or a name for that?
Yeah, we call it, if it's a girl, we call it Dadapa. If it's a boy, Bainapa. Those are the one going there. And also, like, we call it the lucky ones. Because they get an opportunity and go there. And
it's like living with the teachers.
Yeah, it's like exactly living with the teachers. They will teach you, and they give you all kind of tools you need to learn, and the information, the knowledge you want to know. And it's really good tool. And we are so glad having these teachers and elders, and it's really remarkable. It's just amazing to have all this knowledge in their life, experiences that they have. Like, think about, they have 60, 70 years or 50 years. They're giving you all this, you know, it's just amazing.
It's like a jump start.
Yeah, and you're just having it just like for fun. But when you start growing up, these things start popping in your head and tells you something. And it's like, just tell you, like, you have this, get this from this person. Like, you actually could hear the voice and also you could recognize the person. And then you will start, you know, become very happy that I'm glad to have that person, my grandparents, they teach me, or my teachers, they teach me.
All yeah. your days.
Yeah.
Were you one of these lucky people?
Yeah, I was. I was with my grandparents, and always we have like a donkey, and they just put me in the donkey, and they put their stuff up, and uh-huh. and it's like sometimes, like we go, this donkey is like very kind, and the donkey when is walking, and it's like there is like a valley when we're going down to the valley, like because when you are in the high and going down, it's like this donkey start running. Even if I fall down from the donkey wait there, not going anywhere, until I will wake up, until I will ride on, and then we will continue our journey and go. Mm. And it's really is being amazing to have that kind of donkey for my grandparents, and also it's just to have them, it was just a blessing to me.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that your grandparents told you that helped you with your survival when you were running from?
Yeah, it was like if you're running, don't run during the day, run at night because it's dark, no one will see you. And also there is certain method like use vibration, like sleep on the ground and put your ears down and hear the vibration for the animals or the people. And then you could be able to change your direction for your safety. And also if you're looking for a food, look for the trees, certain tree, eat from these tree seed, tree root, tree leaves. And for the water, like look on the sky. If there is a bird making a circle and they are happy, then that means there is a water there. You have to go and find that kind of water. And at night, like we don't know where we are going, but they tell us, look for a light. That light will be in the village or in the town or in the city, they make a big firewood at night and animals come and surround with that fire because the mosquito don't like fire or smoke and the animals don't like mosquito because mosquito eats them.
I'm clearly an animal.
and the animal comes around with that fire and the mosquito will kind of feel the fire and smell the smoke. So the mosquito automatically run away and the animals will be free until morning. And then when the sun come out, so like animals start walking away from that fire. That fire, you will see the distance from a long distance. You will see the light from the ground to the moon is connected. It's like a flashlight. Mm. And you just look for that and run toward it to that until you will get to your destination. And that will be a village or city or town, and you just going there for your safety and ask people to help you until you will, because we're running for our own safety and find just food and place to sit with, you know, with people.
Well, Fadl, your education was clearly a successful one because your grandparents imparted what you needed to know so that you could survive on your own, and you were successful. So those genes carry forward. It's exactly the right education when you're in Sudan. If you're just joining this conversation, welcome. You're listening to New Mainers Speak. I'm Kate Manahan, and my guest today is El Fadl Arbab. He's a citizen of the United States. He was born and raised in Darfur, Sudan, until he was 12, when genocide destroyed his village, and he took flight, where he escaped many perilous situations, including childhood slavery and surviving alone in the wilderness. Sadly, this is not at all a unique story, but luckily, he had the very finest education you could get in that region, which was from his grandparents who taught him how to survive without them as well. You mentioned in your first answer two different things, sitting on the ground, listening to the elders, and They taught you how to put your ear to the ground and feel the vibrations. And when we met last week at Quill and talked, you talked about dirt. And I was struck by your passion for dirt. And I wondered if you would be willing to think about dirt a little bit more with me and tell me your thoughts about
the ground. You know, dirt is everything for us as human being, because when we're born and either we die or pass away, we will be buried at the dirt as well. And we're getting everything from the dirt, from the food to the water, our housing.
How's your housing from?
And our housing, normally we just dig the dirt. We just bring the water also from the dirt. Just mix them together, some mud and rocks, and just build that is like a wall. But to kind of build the top, we have to cut the grass, and that also from the rain to the dirt, and the grass grow from the dirt, and we cut the grass and build the houses to be in the houses, like huts, like burnt, and also like animals eat the grass, get more milk and butter and cheese, and also like we get the water, because the water is more when there is raining season, the water is available. When the raining season is gone, we follow the water and kind of dig the wells and follow the water until when we reach the stone. So we have to leave the area, and people, animals, and birds, we have to kind of migrate, go somewhere else where there is a water available. And this dirt thing is very important for us. Is like when we have at the end of the harvest season, we have like a Thanksgiving, like in January or the end of December, we bring all this food we grow the way it is. We don't have to clean it. We have to put it like, we make like a display. We bring like a corn, the whole corn. You just bring it with their stock. Yeah, the whole thing like stock, and just put it there. We have the watermelons. We have all these different, like we have to put it, and we kind of cook and eat and celebrate and hit the drums and sing and raise animals, and all these it's like a Thanksgiving. We do thanking like everybody who participate to grow this food, and also thanking our earth and dirt and the water and everybody who put anything, a little thing or anything that to make a difference to grow that food. We're just thanking all these people, and we will have like lectures from the kids to the women, to the girls leaders, the boys leaders, and all these, and it's really bringing also in that day like the creative, like if the people create things, like they build things from the dirt and dry them out or burn them, so they bring them all together. Like if you build like a car, you bring and show it there. If you build like animal you love, if you build like a tree from the dirt, so they are all bring it there and they display like the art show.
Are you saying they're clay figurines?
Yeah.
Things you make from the dirt and water. You make clay, you fire them.
Yes.
And then you paint them?
Not actually paint them, but mm-hmm. just to have them, just to show to the people you are talent and you are creative.
Showing and your story.
Yes, you kind of telling a story to the elders. And also you're trying to make that connection from the elders. And the elders, when they see the elders, they dig more stories mm-hmm. related to them, to things in the past. And that will be more education to the kids. And we really love that a lot. And it's just amazing to... the dirt has everything for us, but the people don't realize what the dirt mean. And even my mom, when... she was here with us in Maine, and she lived in the apartment. She's saying, it's like, kids, I want to walk on the dirt. I want to walk in the dirt. So when you walk in the dirt, so you really could feel like you are walking there, and you could see the grass, you could smell them, and you could see the trees, and you could see things in the ground, like walking, like insects and different animals. So that will make a difference in your life. And people just taking it for granted, and they have no idea about this. It's really very important. If we don't have no ground or dirt, so there is no foundation that we could just live in it.
Well, I think it's very interesting that you said you did not have a formal education, because actually I think you had a very progressive education. There are people who do something called earthing, where they go stand on the soil to get the poles to affect their physical electromagnetic fields. There are people who are soil scientists who are finding there's so much information in the soil. And here you came with a native knowledge about dirt and your gratitude and appreciation for all that comes from the ground is inspiring to me on this Thanksgiving week. I think when I sit down to my Thanksgiving week this week, I'm going to say, I'm thankful for the soil, because we don't have any of the Thanksgiving dinner without it, do we?
Yeah. Yeah, it's really important. This is exactly like the Thanksgiving is all about, like, thanking these people and thanking, you know, this great, you know, having all this food, and we're having everything we need. We just having it. It's just there. And we have to be thankful. And also, like, you know, just to just be there and just be thankful. And it's just really amazing.
Thank you for sharing your thoughts about that. I find it quite enriching to my own life, and I appreciate that.
Yeah.
So your region of Sudan has been experiencing very difficult times for a long time now. Upheaval since 2003, is it?
Yeah.
And it's highly unstable central government there. The actor George Clooney is credited by The Guardian as being responsible for putting Sudan's genocide on the world stage in 2006. He's recently funded a program there to watch by satellite what's being perpetrated by the government, so there's evidence. Do you know him personally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know him. I met him in New York, and it was in 2007, and in Washington, D.C. in 2006. And there is many events after that. He really, he's activist, and he's doing all this peace activism and travel, go around the world. And he, as a famous guy, he using his famous to the things positively to help and also get, like, the world's attention, like war, like genocide, ethnic cleansing, crime against humanity, starvation, like a massive rape, and all these. He stand up and just say, like, he's being there, and he just tell a story, and just in a minute or second or couple of minutes, the whole media is all in their watch. And he really put a lot of money as well to create a satellite project that to be like radar, because the government of Sudan killing people in South Sudan, killing people in Nuba Mountain, and also in Blue Nile and Darfur region, and in all over the Sudan, they still deny it. They saying, we did not kill that much, we did not do that. So they put a lot of money toward to George Clooney, John Pendergast, and there is so many their colleagues, they work together, and they put a lot of money, and they make a satellite project. And that put together, like, to radar every single activity is going on there. When the Sudan president called al-Bashir, he's a dictator and monster, and he really killed a lot of people in Sudan. When he arrested and he brought to the justice, to the International Criminal Court, so that George Clooney's organization and other organization, they could bring this evidence to put on the table, and this president will held accountable and he will spend the rest of his life in jail. And we're really, really supportive. And also they put a lot of efforts as well. Every year when there is like a peace, like peace rallies or UN General Assembly, they put a lot of money and they rent the buses for us to travel from Maine and from all over the rest of the states to come down to D.C. or in New York to stand, and we will do like peace rallies and we will pass our message. And that's what we need as a peace.
Yeah, and sadly, you're not the only one with this horrific story. And so all these men and women get on buses in the United States and come together to help raise consciousness about all that has gone and is still going on in Sudan.
Yeah, and we are lucky and we are really honored to be here. And we are just want to do more to save the others' life.
That's beautiful. And you are also, while you are here, enriching my life. So thank you for making Portland your home, South Portland your home, so I can know someone as courageous and grateful and respectful as you. I really appreciate you coming in today.
Thank you so much to have me.
I'm Kate Manahan, closing today's program with a song about joy and love that El Fadl has selected for us. Can you start that up and we will close?
Thank you.
Kamo tajara tani, kamo tajara tano.